Well, good day, everyone. Welcome to LifeInvestigated.com, the Life Investigated podcast. Today, on July the 29th, 2023, we are going to do a spiritual talk today concerning the reality of spiritual warfare. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians will go into church every Sunday. They never will be informed about the powers of darkness. Now, a lot of pastors just don't understand it either, is the reason they don't ever speak on it. But a lot of pastors will tell me this: well, I'm not going to teach about the devil. I'm only going to glorify God. And glorifying God is essential, but how do you really glorify God and His Word without teaching the full gospel and without teaching people potentially what some of their problems may be? So this is going to actually be numerous teachings. Obviously, I won't do it in just one setting, but I would encourage you on the LifeInvestigated.com podcast to be mindful of anything that you see when it comes to the reality of spiritual warfare. That probably means it's in succession to this one. Now, I should have probably started with a better foundation of explaining the powers of darkness, rank and order and structure. And I will come back and I'll do that in the later messages. But for some reason, this is what the Holy Spirit had on my heart to speak on today, on this this Saturday. And by the way, I will be tomorrow night, Sunday, June the 30th, 2023, in the evening service. I will be at the United Christian Inner City Ministries in Roanoke, Virginia, on Bullitt Avenue, be across the street from Hardee's, in the same parking lot, essentially, with Papa John's. They're on Bullitt Avenue, just off of 9th Street. And I'm going to present this scriptural teaching live to the congregation tomorrow night. So if you're in the Roanoke area, please, at 6 o'clock, be sure to join us there in the church. So your foundation scripture for this is going to be 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. And I am going to be reading to you out of the New Living Translation. Okay. I do use the King James. I like the King James. The King James is my primary version of the Bible, but I like the New Living Translation. But there were in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destructions on themselves. Verse 2. Now, this is particularly mindful for you, Christian man or woman. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. Now, many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. Who's the many? Well, it's not just people out here on the street. It's not just people who have not been living a godly life. It's you, Christian. You folks that have been sitting in churches, maybe your entire life, but you've been sitting in a church that refused to preach the true power of Jesus Christ. And this power is not our power, but He has given us the power of attorney to tap in to His authority by His name, which is a teaching also that I do. And if it's online anywhere, you might want to look that up. Maybe I need to do it again. You need to understand your authority as a Christian. So a lot of people are going into churches that they feel like they're going into a church that is a correct church every Sunday, but that church is not teaching the true power of Christ. It's not teaching signs and wonders. It's teaching sensationism, that all the signs, wonders, miracles, and powers of God ceased after the original apostles died. Well, come on now. God said in His Word, He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That He's the unchanging God. He makes that clear throughout the scripture. And why would God want to send such a beautiful and powerful gift in the form of Holy Spirit that endues us with that power and that anointing to do our work, not only for Christ, but to do our secular work and just to live in this world now in these end times. Why would God want to send a gift such as Holy Spirit? Jesus said, I'll send another one just like me. And then only let him hang around for 50 or 60 more years. That is illogical teaching, folks. Sometimes you have to put on with your spiritual cap. You have to put your logic cap on also and understand some of the things that you've been being taught all these years are false doctrines. Now, it may not, maybe a preacher doesn't necessarily teach against them, but he doesn't teach about them. It's the same thing, for the most part anyway, if you're not teaching the full gospel and teaching people how to be empowered through the Spirit, then you are essentially, you've changed the structure of what God set in order. So there are going to be many out here, and there just as there were in Israel in those days, and you have to discern and you have to fight, but you have to understand where a lot of these guys, now they will preach signs and wonders, and you will even see signs and wonders in their teachings and in their services. But that in itself doesn't mean that it's from God, because there's an enemy out there, and his name, the chief of demons, his name is called Satan. He is a fallen angel, and I do have a teaching on that. He is a fallen angel, and he's the leader of these disembodied spirits called demons. And I do have some extensive teachings on this. But so you got to understand there is a battle going on that you must be aware of before you can defend yourself. If you're sitting in your recliner tonight watching this and you don't realize that there's a force out there that's working against you in various different ways at various different times, then you're never going to be able to battle yourself through. What do these false teachings, these false teachers and false prophets, how do they allow the enemy to have easier access to your life? So in other words, when you're sitting under a teaching that is either just outright false or is only teaching half of the gospel, only teaching a half Jesus, when that happens, this is opening the door to the forces of darkness, these demons, to come in and start to hinder and influence your life. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about full demon possession. If some of you, your only recollection or thought about a demon-possessed person is you watch the movie The Exorcist. You know, you need to forget all that Hollywood garbage. Just forget it. Yes, there is a such thing as a full possession by a demonic entity, or maybe even thousands of them in one person. The Bible teaches that also. But you have these influences that try to influence us all, and they certainly influence the world, because the Bible does say that Satan is the god of this world. Satan also disguises himself as the angel of light, and so does his emissary. So you might think you're going to a Christian church that is right on with God, but you're not. Jesus even said it himself. He said, folks come to him at the judgment time, and they said, Jesus, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. And Jesus said, get away from me. Depart from me. I know you're not. Why? Because the structures that you were seeing and the powers that you thought you were imitating or releasing or following were actually not the empowerment of Holy Spirit. They were in the empowerment of these demonic entities, i.e. being led by the chief of all of them, Satan himself. So what does a partial or a false teaching cause you? What's the harm to it? Especially if you're calling yourself a Christian, what's the harm to it? Well, false teachings allow demons to bring diseases in. And I've got, in one of these series on the reality of spiritual warfare, we will talk about that. These diseased spirits that come in, these germs, these demons that bring germs and et cetera, you know, through an unclean spirit. So false teaching allows demons to cause diseases. It keeps men from true healing and prosperity and will cause you not to get your prayers answered. The other things these demons will do when they are allowed in because you have let your guard down or you never put the guard up because you wasn't aware of situations happening, they come in and they take over and they put you in either a full bondage or a semi-tight bondage of some kind. Have you ever come across something that you just that you know is wrong and you don't like it and you don't even like participating in it, but you keep doing it partially anyway? That's a bondage. That's a partial bondage that a demon has you under. And we have to rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Right now, join your faith with me. If you have a partial issue of any kind that's holding you back, that's causing you condemnation or anything else right now, we need to take authority over that bondage, over that demon that's causing that bondage. It's influencing you. It's in your house. It's affecting you. It's affecting your family, whatever it might be. So repeat with me. In the name of Jesus, I speak to this bondage or this possible partial bondage that I have. I speak to it under the authority of the name of Jesus. I bind it up because the Bible says what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So this is where we want it bound at. So we speak to this demon right now, this harassment, this whatever's coming against us and our families, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we bind it, we rebuke it, and we command it out and back into the heavenlies where it come from. We'll have no further part of you, and then we're going to invite Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, teach my mind. Give me thoughts of purity and thoughts of the word. Holy Spirit, let me think and concentrate on those things that are good. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are recognizing now as we enter into the warfare arena that we actually do have an enemy, whether we can see that enemy or not. Now, the problem is if you are in a church or anywhere else, and you are seeing activity, spiritual activity, and you are attributing it to the Holy Spirit, but it may be from a demon. It may be from the leader of the demons, and therefore it's misleading you. Why would that happen? So sometimes, so if you're in a false teaching, or if you've already just invited demons into your life by your refusal to accept Jesus Christ, acknowledge Christ as Lord and Savior, to acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior and that Jesus Christ is indeed the one and only Savior. You're just opening the door already if you haven't. So, but why would God, not God. I know what some of you is getting ready to say, so I'm going to go ahead and say that. Why would God allow what appears to be miracles and anointing be in certain circumstances in certain churches? Well, it's not the fact that God's allowing it. Satan is a legalist, and he understands the authority that he has on this earth for right now. Things are going to change, but for right now. So Satan is exercising that legal authority that he has, and he is performing signs, wonders, and miracles. We have scripture to back this up. And what that's doing, that's confusing you. So if you participate in that without discerning and trying the spirit out, you discern and try every spirit in every church that you go to, not just a select few. If you are being misled by this false teaching, this false anointing, or these false signs and wonders that Satan is producing to distract you from the real anointing and the real God. And therefore, you might very well be one of those people when it comes time for you to meet your Savior, your judge. If you haven't accepted that as your Savior and Lord, he is definitely going to be your judge. I mean, we're all going to be judged, but we have a different type of judgment. So if you haven't accepted him, you're definitely coming in front of God as judge. But you, when you come in front of him and you've participated in these false religions and this false power and these false understandings, then Jesus may very well tell you, I don't know you. And you might give the argument, well, I went to this church. It's that they said they were a Christian church, and we seen people healed, and we seen people get up out of wheelchairs, and we seen like thousands and thousands of people come to their crusades and their meetings and their churches and so on and so on. But that could be just the devil empowering and misleading you, because that's what he does. He disguises himself as an angel of light to mislead people. The more he can mislead God's creation, especially the ones that are calling themselves Christians, the more he can mislead you, the more he feels like he is superior to our Almighty God. So that's what got Satan in trouble to start with. He tried to set himself up above God, and he's still trying to do that. And you are the pawn in this war when you give in to the techniques, tactics, and deception of Satan. So they will cost you favor. Now, sometimes when you go into a church that's truly anointed of Holy Spirit and where there's true signs and wonders happening, you'll think, wow, I feel so much better now. Why is the spirit so much better in this church than the one I normally go to or the one I've been going to? That's because it is probably the true working of the Holy Spirit. And you're sensing the difference in your spirit. You just may not have enough spiritual sense to discern what you're experiencing. And then others of you may go into a church where the true anointing is there, and you feel like you've gotten delivered. You feel like you've gotten healed when the pastor calls you up for healing or calls you up to cast off demons off of your life or even out of your life, or, you know, prays for, you know, family members and et cetera, et cetera. And all of a sudden you're seeing a manifestation of a miracle. Whereas before you couldn't get a miracle. You couldn't see a miracle. You couldn't understand a miracle, even though you were seeking after a miracle. But now you've come under the true anointing of the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden you're free. But then you walk out from underneath that anointing that was on that pastor or in that church and on the group of elders, whoever it may have been on, and all of a sudden that same nagging spirit that, or ailment or sickness or whatever it is, all of a sudden it's back on you. And then you're saying, well, God's not true. They told me I got healed. Well, here's what happened. That controlling spirit that you had that has either possessed you or influenced you, walked alongside you and lead and guided you and pushed you, and you've listened to its voice. What it did, that demon itself knew that you were coming under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So that demon, even though it wasn't cast out or cast off of you, it chose to relinquish its authority for a time period so that it wouldn't be dealt with. So you went in there and all of a sudden you got free. Then you come back out and the next thing you know, and Matthew chapter 12 and verses 43 and 45 makes it very clear that demons can leave and then turn around and come back. Especially if you have a full possession, they will leave if they're cast out for sure under the authority of the name of Jesus, but they will still be seeking to come back. So if one chooses to leave its authority for a period of time when it knows you're coming under the true authority of Christ and the Holy Spirit, in order not to be dealt with, it may relinquish its control, but it will still come back, especially if you don't understand what really happened and you've truly repented for your sins. And then you, at the same time, after that repentance, you have allowed the fullness of the Holy Spirit to come in and reside in your life. When that demon tries to come back in, and if you haven't submitted fully to the Holy Spirit, it has no problem coming back in. And as a matter of fact, in Matthew 12 and 43 and 45, it says, It'll even bring seven demons of its fellow demons that are stronger and worse than it and come back and reside with you. And you might say, well, I'm a Christian. I've confessed Christ. I'm blood-bought. I hear that from a lot of you holiness people, especially Pentecostal, but especially you holiness people. You get up in my face and say, oh, that demon can't cross the bloodline. Well, that demon crosses the bloodline. Now, it may not be able to fully possess you if you are truly, there's a lot of you that think you're saved, especially of that persuasion. You think you're saved, but you're really not saved to start with. You think you're full of the Holy Spirit, but you've got a counterfeit baptism. You're moving under a demon that is a religious demon that is influencing you, and you've been captivated by that demon. Demons, even if you are truly born again and blood bought, demons can still harass you and they can hinder you. Now, folks, all you have to do, the Apostle Paul, now we can all agree that he was saved. I hope you can agree with me that the Apostle Paul was saved. And he still had demons harassing him at every turn. So are you greater than the Apostle Paul? Are you? I think not. So you need to get off your religious high horse and repent. Get a true baptism of the Holy Spirit and start truly moving in the Spirit. Then you'll see what I'm talking about. So that demon relinquishes its control for a time, then it turns around and comes back. So how do you know if you're in a false religion? Well, if the religion that you are in denies the fundamentals of the Christian faith, the blood of Christ, the resurrection, and the new birth, then you are in a false religion, period. I don't care if your church says, blah, blah, Christian church, if they're not teaching this and wholeheartedly are committed to the fundamental foundational scriptures concerning life, then you're not saved, and it's a false church. And you say, well, my church doesn't preach against that, but if it doesn't promote that, excuse me, it's still a false teaching. A half-truth doesn't make it true. It makes it a lie. If you understand what I'm saying? So if your church, for example, if they don't want a symbol of the cross, for example, I'm just using that as an example. I'm not saying this is the absolute true litmus test, but if the pastor, the teachers of the church never say a word about the blood, the sacrificial offering, and the crucifixion and what happened on the cross that day, the suffering and the battle that went on at the cross, if they're not talking about the resurrection of Christ because of that death, because of that blood that was shed for us to cleanse us from all sin, to give us the payment function to buy us back from sin and from Satan. If they're not talking about the new birth continually, then it's maybe very well a false teaching, a false church, a false prophet. Any power, influence, or doctrine that causes one to become passive and unresisting to the workings of the supernatural spirits which seek control of the life contrary to Scripture is not of God. Let me say that one more time. I wrote this down so I would not mess it up. Any power, influence, or doctrine that causes one to become passive and unresisting to the workings of supernatural demonic spirits which seek to control the life contrary to Scripture is not of God. So if you just lay down in a passive situation every time an obstacle comes into your life that's bad, or that's that you know is coming in a spiritual sense, or a manifested sense in the physical, or a manifested sense in the soul and the mental realms, if you just lay down and give into that, then you are being passive to that power, maybe because you haven't been taught, maybe because you're weak in faith, maybe because you don't feel like you have anybody to stand with you, are probably because you just don't really understand the absolute influence of the Holy Spirit and the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then you let these demonic spirits control. You see, the devil is a controller. He's forceful. When these demons come in and they hinder you and they harass you and they lead you in the wrong directions, what they do when they get themselves set up as your conscience or as your spirit or as your God, when they get themselves set up as such, when they establish a foothold, then what do? They demand the surrender of your will. So if you start trying to resist them and you don't fully understand what you need to do, maybe you put up a level of resistance and then you get knocked 5 steps back. Then some of you will even attribute that to God. No. God does not beat people into submission. That's the devil. The Holy Spirit, when he is dealing with you and he wants to come into your life and he wants to completely overfill you with himself, his choice is this for you. This is how you come to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a free and active choice in the vehicle of total surrender, because you freely and actively wanted to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Many of you have attempted to get baptized in the Holy Spirit with as the Pentecostals say, the evidence of speaking in unknown tongues, but it never happens for you. You believe the scripture is real, but it's never happening for you. There could be a couple of reasons for that. One is you have been subjected to a false spirit, and you think every time something starts stirring in your life or you start to see a miracle, you think that's Holy Spirit, but it's not. It's still that demonic entity that's causing that, because you just haven't got rid of it, or you haven't truly repented and you truly haven't accepted Christ, so you're confused. You want the Holy Spirit and you want to speak in tongues. You want that endowment of power, but you can't seem to obtain it. You may be just under the wrong influence and thinking that you're going under the control of the Holy Spirit when you're not. The other thing is you just may not have truly, now listen to me, this is very important because I've seen it so many times, you just may not have truly, truly surrendered your will freely and actively to the Spirit of God. And he is just not going to put you in a headlock like these demons do. Holy Spirit is just not going to do that. So I understand you've got a battle, and that's why I taught this lesson first. I think your battle truly is you've got to understand where the source of your power is coming from. There's two sources of power you might see in your life. One's a false power and one's that of God, the Holy Spirit. You need to make sure you're following the right one. Make sure you're truly repentant. Make sure you are truly saved. And if you're seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he will come on you and he will overtake you. When you tell him he has free will, he has your free will and permission to do so, because that's the way he operates. I'll see you next time.